Cody Brock, and I own and help operate Brock Farm LLC in Norbern, Missouri. We're actually a little ways north of Norbern, but a little town of Steph. So,
So looking at this this growing season so far, you know, we're sitting just started June. So tell me first off how planting went for you.
I've got to say we have been very blessed this spring. We were a little cool early on, back in late April, I guess. And since then, things straightened out. We've gotten some timely rains, but not too much. And we were able to get in and get things done in a timely manner. And everything looks really good so far.
So you just on that, looking at the crop progress, do you have a kind of a lot of people I've talked to are having kind of a wide range on the crop maturity, you know, stuff that's just popped up and stuff that's been, you know, up for quite a while. So do you have a pretty big spread on everything, or did you get stuff planted pretty close together?
I looked back with a friend of mine there a while back, and we actually planted everything within a time frame of a month, I believe. Within that month, we had 1 week, I think, that we weren't able to plant. We were rained out of the fields that 1 week. But then besides then, it might have been, you know, a half a day here or there that we were rained out. But everything got in a timely fashion. We were able to get in and get it planted very quickly. And honestly, the maturity on the corn is anywhere from V2 to our earliest planted now is it's probably a V8.
So looking at, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We started planting beans this probably a week before we started planting corn, which is kind of unique in our area at least. But we've seen a big advantage by getting these beans planted earlier every year. So we kind of tried to focus on that a little more this year, and so far it's worked out really good. We've got great emergence and great stands on all of our beans too. So.
Well, just on this, they're kind of funny because a lot of farmers I've talked to, they've, you know, talked about trying to get those beans in earlier and really wanting to, but these last few years, it's just seemed pretty cool and wet early on in the spring.
Yep, that is true. And what we've found, just kind of based off experimentation on our farm, at least, is beans seem to be much hardier and are much more willing to put up with cooler, wet soils than corn is. At the same time, corn, you have to have that picket fence stand to really push that yield level up to the next plateau. With beans, it seems like they're a little more forgiving. You know, they'll compensate if you do end up with a thinner stand in places. And heck, a lot of our seed dealers are even telling us to back off our soybean population just based on what they've seen in their research. And if we're trying to push yields, we actually need to plant them thinner. So,
yeah. So on your soybeans, with you getting them in the ground a little bit earlier, how much does that benefit things like setting a canopy early to really prevent some weed pressure?
Yeah, that's one thing we also strive for, too. We plant all our beans on 15-inch rows so we can try to achieve that canopy. And along with planting them earlier in the year, we get that canopy earlier. It's all about chasing sunlight hours. And, you know, if we can get that where they're going into reproductive stage right during that summer solstice when we have the longest days in the summer, that's where we're really going to see the biggest yield advantages, is trying to focus that beginning R1 or R3 right at that summer solstice. So that's kind of our goal with planting early too, along with the earlier canopy, maybe help to preserve moisture if we do end up in a dry situation, you know, come middle of July there. So
I'm sure this varies year to year, you know, depending on how you get out of the gate, but generally what's your goal as far as recording soybean yields?
In the past, we've whenever I started farming, we were hoping for 40. In the past couple of years, we've averaged 50, I think, over all the acres. You know, if we were going to try to push one for like a yield contest, my goal has been 100. I haven't hit it yet, but We've had several fields come out at 80. So, yep.
Yeah. So, looking at, you know, forward this growing season, what's really sitting top of mind, top of mind concerns for you?
I think a guy's kind of, you know, we've got a lot of money out there. The markets are outstanding right now, and just us looking at our stands and trying to think of ways we can help push this to the next level, but still keep an eye on our bottom line. I mean, I've always been told you can't save your way to prosperity, you can also find your way broke. So it's kind of that fine line. It's figuring out which inputs we can utilize and better invest our dollars to push the build level to the next goal. So
Can you just say that one part again? You cut out there for a second. You said you can't save your way to prosperity.
You can't save your way to prosperity, but you can spend your way. You can't save your way to prosperity, but you can spend your way broke.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So if you don't spend any money, what that boils down to is, if you don't spend any money on the crop, you're not going to make any money on the crop. But if you spend all your money on the crop, you're not going to make any money on the crop either. So
yeah,
it's that fine line and figuring out what inputs give us the best ROI.
Well, I kind of feel you there, because Dad and I, we're kind of peeking our way into the cattle business, and it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you got to hit the ground strong enough, but you know, let's not break the bank right out of the gate. But yeah.
Can we get a good enough result out of a $10,000 heifer that we don't have to go buy a $30,000 heifer?
Exactly, yeah.
I understand that, yep.
Looking at the grain markets right now, you noted, you know, that a lot of opportunity out there with strong markets, but to match that, you know, you have those high input costs. So what type of pressure does that put on you as a producer to really capitalize on marketing your grain?
Marketing is something I've always kind of struggled with, and I think most farmers do to some degree, you know, and a lot of it is we get so attached to this grain that we have on hand that it's like we never want to get rid of it. But you know, there always comes a time when you need to utilize that market and try to sell whenever you think you're making the most money or you're eliminating the most risk, I guess. But in terms of inputs, you know, for us, it's making every pass across the field count and getting the most out of every pass we make, because, you know, we all know the price of fuel and how much extra it costs this year to make that one pass across the field. So, you know, we started utilizing starter fertilizer this year on a planter and for the corn anyway, and trying to see a way if, you know, we can get that corn out of the ground faster and get it off to a better start, because we know the potential is there. If we can utilize it the most, we'll see what that helps the bottom line at the end of the year. So,
from a producer's standpoint, how concerning, whether it's relation to markets or just the overall grain production, is, you know, the Russian-Ukrainian situation?
Yeah, that's something we got to keep an eye on, and we kind of try to help market around that as much as we can. The markets are very volatile, as they always are whenever we're at this price level. But at the same time, it doesn't help having this the disagreement going on in Russia and Ukraine. But I keep telling myself that if things do end over there, it's probably not going to be good for the grain market.
Well, and one of the things that's been discussed this week somewhat is, you know, a talk of a trade corridor coming out of Ukraine, which, you know, like we saw, I guess, earlier this week, you know, kind of coming out of the holiday, shortened week, a lot of things were just sharply lower that Tuesday.
Yeah, and that's what I think, at least what I read through after that sell-off, was a lot of that had to do with the rumor of Russia turning loose of a lot of Ukrainian grain, and they were going to let them start exporting it again. In my personal belief, I'd be shocked if Putin turns loose of that grain, if he actually has control of it. just what little I hear about him and how greedy he can be at times. It's like, why would he turn loose if he doesn't necessarily have to? So maybe I'm wishful thinking, but, you know, I'll believe it when I see it, I guess. So it's
the ultimate Missouri mindset of show me, you know.
I think that's probably it, yeah. I'll believe it when I see it, yeah. And what is that they say? Sell, buy the rumor and sell the fact.
Going throughout the rest of the season, is there anything else that's really on your mind that you'd like to talk about?
No, I don't guess. I mean, I just hope for everybody to stay safe. I know whenever I say we were very blessed, I keep using that anytime somebody asks me how things look this spring and how we've gotten along so far. And I honestly have zero complaints. I mean, we were all able to stay healthy and safe through the whole planning process, and we felt rushed at times, and everything got in good. But I know, on the other hand, there's a lot of areas in the state that are struggling, and there's a lot of areas in the states that are struggling to get things in and get them planted in a timely manner. And, you know, I follow some guys there on social media that are up in Minnesota, North Dakota, and man, they're battling something different every week, it seems, up there. So it's I know it's not all golden everywhere, and I just hope those guys can keep a positive outlook on it and you know, get through it safely, and we'll live to see through another planting season.